Tess Elul, Thursday the 4th of September, Rabbi David Roberts, his money or her life.
Please forgive me if I pose a philosophical dilemma. I know it's early in the morning, but to start maybe with a philosophical dilemma to explain the topic a little bit. And the truth is one could pose this in many different ways. I don't know if I'm allowed in these in the Beis Medrash, but I'll try anyway. It's actually one of the places where it's posed is by Plato. And he discusses it as one of his dialogues, one of his dilemmas, and it goes something as follows. To put it in its crudest form, the question would go as follows. You can couch it in the positive or in the negative, it doesn't make any difference. The question would be as follows. Let's take something like Gezel Moshel, theft. Is theft wrong because the Rabbeinu Shalom said so? Or does the Rabbeinu Shalom say so because it is wrong? That's the way that he poses it. Yeah? Is it wrong because the Rabbeinu Shalom says so? Or does the Rabbeinu Shalom say so because it is wrong? Now that's the way he poses it. Now, obviously, what I believe is the true Torah resolution of this is not as simple as what might appear at first blush. The first horn of the dilemma, as it's called. So to say so, to say that theft is wrong because the Rabbeinu Shalom says so. So the way to understand it is a little bit more subtle than that. And there are a number of sources, a number of makoros in Torah and Rishonim that would appear to indicate, Lamoshel, start with the Ramban in two places. The Ramban says that the Rabbeinu Shalom brought the Mabul of Fuchamos for Gezel because you don't need a Navi to tell you that you mustn't touch something that isn't yours. You don't need a Navi for that. A Mensch darf allein verstehen, a person should understand that you don't take something that isn't yours. A Loshen of Rav Nissim Gon in his Akdama to Shas, he says as follows, Ki kol ha-mitzvahs shehin tluyin b'svara uba'uvnasa d'liba, kvar ha-koil mischayvin bohem min ha-yoyim ha-sheh boro elikim odam ala oretz val zaroi achro l'doire doireis. Something which is misvara, a person is mechuyev to do or not to do from the moment that the Rabbeinu Shalom created the world. As opposed to other mitzvahs which we would only know if the Rabbeinu Shalom told us. And probably the most famous source of all is the Rambam in Shemena Prokim. There are others. There's a very interesting comment of Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Gittin Daf Nun Ches, Maramokim Aniloch. But the most famous one probably is the Rambam in Shemena Prokim here in Perek Shishi, where he poses it as an apparent contradiction. On the one hand, we're told, he tells us, Omru HaPhilosophim, they tell us, and there are sources in Chazal, that the greatest thing is for somebody to be Kovish Deyetzer. In other words, for somebody to have an inclination to do something wrong, and nevertheless to be Kovish it. On the other hand, he says, the Mama Chazal says, a person shouldn't say, Efshi ve'efshi, a person shouldn't say, I would be able to do it. I wouldn't want to do whatever it is, but efshi ve'efshi, ma'eseh avishem v'shemayim gozer alai. So which is it? What's better? The natural inclination or not? And the famous formulation of the Rambam is that it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about things, kulam emes, he says, ve'in behem achleikas klal. V'hu shaharo'is sheheim etzalafi losefim ro'is. The things which everybody should understand that you shouldn't do them, kagein shvichas domim, gineva, gezel, then of course somebody who wants to do it and has to be kovish is yetzer, as mishkin mensch, is a schlechter mensch, there's something wrong with him. He's a choli anafesh, somebody that naturally would want to do that and only doesn't do it because the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't say so, there's something wrong with him. On the other hand, he says there are mitzvahs that we would never have known otherwise, of course, call them chukim, whatever. And those, of course, and that's where the Moshe the Chazal used there, shatnas and other things, that there, of course, one only desists because the Rabbeinu Shalom says so. So, to say, therefore, that it is wrong only because Hashem had revealed it to be so, you see, Makoros in Rishonim, that's not quite true. On the other hand, to say that Hashem said so because it is wrong would then mean that, philosophically as it were, chas v'shalom, the Rabbeinu Shalom is beholden to something prior to him, and that can't be. He is the Elohim, the Sibah HaRishon. He's the prime cause. So which is it? And the answer, of course, is, and this is important for us to realize, and this is just as a quick hakdama to the topic, is that this is what they call, this is a false dichotomy. You've said, you've given it as a zero-sum option, a binary option. It's either this, either that is right or that is right. It's not true. Both, there is emes in both of them. It is the realization that the reason that a person should naturally understand, why should I naturally understand that Gezel is wrong? That is a manifestation of Elokus. That is because the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave me Tzufashtein, he gave me an Ashrama, a Chelek Elikamimal, and therefore I understand. And that is a manifestation of what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has given me. And that is why I should naturally understand that it is wrong. Beruponecha says the Chofetz Chaim is a reference to Matan Torah, where we had this most intimate encounter, as it were, with the Rabbeinu Shalom, and we got the Neshama, and as a result of which, not only did we get Teras Chaim, but he gave us the Neshama, so now we have an Ahavas Chesed. It's natural, it's something that we should naturally understand. For Goyim, it's only at the level of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Nech, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, that they have, if a Goy only does the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Nech because they understand it, but they don't recognize that that is the manifestation of Elokus, then that's no good, that's not good for them either. But we certainly need to understand that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us a neshama, and that therefore naturally, if I am misaver to do something which the seichel should be mechayev, otherwise that's a choli hanefesh and that needs dealing with. At the same time, of course, we had to have the Torah's chayim. We needed to have the other things that we would not understand for two reasons. First of all, for the chukim, all the other things, the ways that the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world, which we would never have been able to work out in a million years. And equally importantly, is when we have scenarios and situations which will always be where there are conflicting or competing considerations. When one chiyuv comes apparently into conflict with another, and there we need the Rabbeinu Shleim to guide us and to show us clearly. And it's not good enough just to use your intuition, because different people will say different things. And therefore we need a clear understanding of what we're meant to do when we come into these sort of situations. It's just a short hakdama. The title comes from a theory that is put forward, or a scenario that is put forward, which has, unfortunately, it's happened in halacha, and it's one that we hope never happens, but the situation would be as follows. Again, at first blush, it would appear to be poshut, but when you delve into the Makoros, it seems it's not that poshut at all. The way it was posed, again, by a philosopher, a moral development theorist, but the concept, the way that it's mentioned in Halacha as well, is as follows. What a person needs, a person's wife, Nebuch, is very ill, and needs a medicine to heal her. The only medicine, there was one chemist in town who has this medicine, he's developed this medicine, but he's charging, whether it's exorbitant, it's actually irrelevant, he's charging a fee and the fellow cannot pay. He can't afford to pay. May he, must he, should he steal the medicine to save her life? That's the way that the question was posed. It was a similar sort of thing, although it's a bit more complicated because it goes into another sugya as well, and that was in the Warsaw Ghetto. There were two brothers, both of whom were men of means, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, forced Brother A. They knew that Brother B had money, they didn't know Brother A had money. So they came to Brother A and they forced Brother A to reveal where Brother B's money was, even though he could have given them his own money. So he was Matzil Atzmai B'mamin Chaveiroi, that's the sugya. He saved himself with the money of his chava. They both survived, and after the war they both made it to Eretz Yisrael, and then there was a din Torah. Was he allowed to, should he have, etc. So, at first blush there's no shaila. L'chura it would be a double poshut. I'm sure your initial response would be, it's pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh. Everything's doicha. Pikuach nefesh is doicha everything. What's the shaila b'chlal? However, it's not quite so simple. It perhaps wouldn't be quite so simple. The Gemara says as follows: Gemara Bava Kama Samach Amud Beis. The Gemara says a pasuk: Vayisave David Vayomer Miashkeni Mayim. Miboyer beis lechem asher b'shar vayivku shleishes agibayim b'machne plishtim vayishavu mayim miboyer beis lechem asher b'shar. David was thirsted for water, which Chazal, the Gemara, interprets to mean that it wasn't physical water. He wanted to get sack from the Sanhedrin on a shaila. Maiko miboyele, what was his shaila? So there's three ukimtas here in the Gemara as to what the shaila was. But one, Rav Huna, we'll just take one. Rav Huna said as follows: Gidishim disairim di Yisrael havu dehava mitamra plishtim behu. There was standing corn belonging to the Plishtim, and they were using, it belonged to a Yidden, but the Plishtim were using it, where have we heard this before, to hide in civilian populations and it's an old tactic, and to attack from within the standing corn, surprise attacks. And what David wanted to do was a scorched earth policy. He wanted to burn it down, and then that would bring them out into the open, and they wouldn't be able to attack. The shaila was he allowed to do that? That was his shaila. Gedishim disayrim di Yisrael hava. The haystacks belonged to Yidden. The Plishtim were hiding in them. V'komi boyelahu, and his shaila was, mahu lahatzil atzmoi b'momin chaveva. Am I allowed to save myself, to save Klal Yisrael, to save myself from Mamun Chaveiro? That was the shaila he posed to the Sanhedrin. Sholchulei, the answer came back as follows: Osa lahatzalatzmei b'Mamun Chaveiro. It's Osa. Avolat o melech ato, but you are a melech, and a melech has the power to act extrajudicially. Ato melech ato, u melech pirates lasses leiderech vein meichin biyodoi. So, were you not a melech? Let's take the Gemara first of all, kipshutai. Let's take the Gemara Kipshutai. The answer would seem to be a surprising answer. It's also lahatzil atzmoi b'momin chaveiroi. It's forbidden. But it just so happens that for you it's mutti, because you're a melech, and you have that power, you have that ability. That's the Gemara. Sorry? Come to that. We'll come to that. Rega. I'll try and get to that. So, also lahatzil atzmoi. And that's the way that Rashi seems to learn the Gemara Kipshutai. Rashi seems to learn the Gemara Kipshutai. That was, in which case, if that's the way Rashi understands the Sugya Kipshutai, then we have a very surprising conclusion. That it is Osur, if you're not a Melech, then it is indeed Osur Lahatzeratzmei B'momen Chaveiroi. That you can't save yourself with using somebody else's money, which is a Pele. There are those that learn in Rashi, Kipshutai. The Aruch Lener in a series of tshuvas, an argument with the Maram Shik. But he clearly learns Rashi Kipshutai. The Mishnah Lamelech and Parashas Drachim understood Rashi Kipshutai. The Maritz Chayas, who quotes a letter from the Chasam Sefer, also understands Rashi Kipshutai. The Shailu Meshiv understands Rashi Kipshutai. Not everybody agrees. Ramesh Feinstein in a tshuvas just dismisses it virtually out of hand. He said, it's Ken Zayin. It can't be. Just on the basis of typical Ramesh. He says because pikuach nefesh, it can't be that it's osra hatzalat mei b'mamun chaveiroi. It can't be. The Aruch Lener brings various rayas. We'll maybe just go through one or two of the rayas quickly. He says the Aruch Lener, one of his rayas is from the Gemara that discusses how do we know that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. So one of the makoros is because it's a kal v'chomer. If already avoda is doicha Shabbos. And pikuach nefesh, avoid in the Beis HaMikdosh is doicha Shabbos, as we know, bring korbanos on Shabbos. And at the same time, we know that pikuach nefesh is doicha avoidah. If a kohen is needed to give testimony to save somebody's life, then that consideration outweighs his chiyuv of avoidah, says the Gemara, kal v'chomer, pikuach nefesh, therefore is doicha Shabbos. Right? Simple kal v'chomer. Says the Aruch Lener, hold on a second. There is something which is not doicha avoidah. What is that? What would be if there were no karbonos? No karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. And the only way we can bring a karbon is by stealing somebody's. Nu, hayirotzeh. Will the Rabbeinu Shalom want that? Is avoda doicha gezel? No, avoda is not doicha gezel. Says the Aruch Lener, if avoda is not doicha gezel, so therefore it follows, and that's the basis upon which we learn that pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos, it would therefore follow logically that pikuach nefesh is not doicha gezel. So he brings a riot from that Gemara to what would appear to be Again, quite an interesting conclusion, but that's one of the rayas that he brings. There are other rayas. He brings a raya from, there's a Maraponim in a Yerushalmi that seems to learn like that. Al-Koponim. The shaila is this, is we naturally tend to see this as a strange, I think we naturally recoil at this, that see this as a strange shitter, that this should be halacha l'maisa, that should be the way, that should be the pshat in Rashi, that would be strange. Al-Koponim, he certainly, there are those that learn pshat in Rashi like that. What would be the hezba hadova? Why would that be so? Why and how should that be so? We know there's the Gimel Averis. Only Gimel Averis. Nothing else. Mecha Tesa. So either the suggestion is, the Maraponim suggests actually in the Yerushalmi, there is actually a fourth one, he says. There's a fourth one, and it's Gezel. It's Taka Gezel. Azay Zokta. Some say the Marsham understands that it comes under Abizrayu. It comes under, very, very interesting, under Abizrayu of Ritzicha. And this might sound a little bit strange, but if you think about it, it's not all that strange. Because as you know, we learn that from Machteres, that a person will, there's a connection between your willingness and preparedness to defend your property even at point of danger to your life. And the Gemara learns it from Machteres. There is a connection. And therefore the Marsham suggests, maybe the pshat is, it's an Abizrayu of Ritzicha. And therefore it's not its own, it's not a fourth cardinal sin as such, but it's connected to the other one. Just agav, although this again this may sound quite strange, but it's not quite so, it's not so posh. Rabbi Yonin in Shari Tshuva learns quite clearly that being Malbin Pnei Chaveiro Berabim is also is an Abizrayu of Ritzicha. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman in Tshuvas is almost prepared to be makel to allow an Issad Rabbonon B'Yodayim on Shabbos to be Matzil from Halbonas Ponim, Mikoyach the Abizrayu. He's down on it in very seriously in his Tshuvas. So it's not all that strange. So that Al-Koponim would be Shittas Rashi, possibly. Like I say, it's Machlokes and Shittas Rashi, but that might be Shittas Rashi. Others go to the other extreme. The Ravid seems to learn that it's Hutra. It's Hutra. That Gezel, when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, is Hutra. There's no Issa whatsoever. If there's no Issa whatsoever, then no Issa has been done, and, like you mentioned before, as a result, there would be no Chiv of Tashlumin either. If it's Mutta, how are we going to learn the Gemara? We'll see in a minute. The Gemara seems to be quite unequivocal. We'll have to see how to learn the Gemara. But there are Rishonim who learn. The other Mamish Min HaKotza LaKotza. Rashi holds Halacha L'Maisa, it's Asa. The Ravid and others holds it's Mamish, it's Hutra. And there's no Issa whatsoever, and there would be no Chiyuv Tashlumin. A third approach, which is the Shitta of Tosfos, which Lechura then becomes, as we'll see in Rambam and Paskin, in Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, that becomes the normative approach, is somewhere in between. Tosfos has a different approach to the whole sugya. Tosfos says as follows. The shaila mahu lahatzil atzmoi b'momin chaveiroi. Wasn't a shaila like Rashi understood it, kipshutoi. Simply, is it mutter to steal or is it not mutter to steal? In which case, the response would have come back that it's osel hatzim b'mam and chavei, right? Says Tosfos, no. Iboyele ichayev l'shalem k'shehitzel atzmoy mipnei pikuach nefesh. The shaila was, it was never a shaila as whether it was mutter or not. That it's mutter. The shaila was, afterwards, is there a chiyuv tashlum? That's the shaila. And the answer came back that normally osel hatzel atzmoy b'mam and chavei, which now means that if you do so, avad it's mutter to do so. Of course, gezel is toicha pikuach nefesh. Because nefesh rather is doicha gezel. That's not the shaila, but there would have to be financial restitution. There would have to be compensation, and that now becomes the norm. So, and we see this also in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We're not going to be able to have time to go through the whole thing, but it's interesting. Maybe I'll just quickly introduce see if I manage to tie it up. Hopefully. A kasha that the shach, they ask at the end of Choshen Mishpat. See whether they manage to tie it up. Because, of course, the key thing that we're going to have to try and understand here is, that unlike Lahavdil, secular legal systems which are all based on rights, in Halacha Pashtus, in Yiddishkeit Pashtus, there is a Rav Shimon Shkop that might seem to indicate otherwise, but generally speaking the whole system is based on duties, on obligations, on chiyuvim, not on rights. And therefore what you end up with is more like implied rights. There's two ways you can come at everything. For example, in secular jurisprudence, you have the concept that I have bought this item, therefore I have the right to this item. You therefore had better not impinge on my right to continued ownership of this item. But the starting point is always rights. In Torah, it's the other way around. There is a negative obligation, lo sigzo. You may not. I've added this a concept of kinyonim, but it's all about the chi of the duty. We have positive and negative obligations, but they're all about duties. We have a system of tariag mitzvahs, of chiyuvim, not of rights. Many nafkaminas, one of the most important nafkaminas is Rabbi Midler Zatzal used to talk about a lot, is that it engenders a whole different person. We're living in a world which is obsessed on, it's all about me, it's about taking, it's about rights. A yid always asks himself, have I been yotze my chiyuv to the Rabbeinu Shloilam, to my fellow Yid, to my fellow man? It's always about Chiyuvim. It's a whole different way of, it engenders, if it's done, if the system is applied correctly, it engenders a whole different type of person. A Torah personality, a Ben Torah, a Yid, an Elch, a Yid, is somebody who's always thinking about, have I been Yitzah Yidei Chayvasi? It makes a whole different type of person. Al Kolponim, you can have conflicting Chiyuvim, conflicting duties. I have a negative duty not to steal, but there is also a chiyuv of hatzalah. There is a chiyuv of hatzalah. There's a chiyuv of hatzalah to yourself and to others. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Tov Chavav, Ares Chaver Tevei B'Yom Alistim B'Yom Nalavi Chayra Ba'ala V'Yochel HaHatzila Hu Ba'atzmai Oishi Yisker Acherim LaHatzila. You have, if you have an opportunity to save another yid, Lo Yisamid Al Dam Re'echa, you're not allowed to stand idly by. Incidentally, in most European jurisdictions, although not yet in the UK, you know, you can watch somebody drown, and you can watch Chasam, a toddler, drown in a little puddle of water, and there's no criminal culpability at all. In Eretz Yisrael, there is already a Chok Lo Tamod Al Dam Re'echa since 1980-something. In most European jurisdictions, it's not true. There's a lot of talk to try and introduce it here, but at the moment, there's no chiyuv. Maybe a duty of care if you're a teacher, a policeman, maybe to some extent. Still no mandated reporting, I think. No, that's the law. We don't have that. We have a leisamud al dam re'echa. To the extent that you're even mechuyev liskeir acherim. To the extent you're even mechuyev liskeir acherim. You've got to expend money. You have a chiyuv here. What would be, asks the shach, asks the sma over here. Asks the sma. You're hatzalah. Right? Hatzalah goes and saves somebody. Can you then present them with a bill? Leaving out the side that Hatzalah is a separate, maybe a separate entity, whether we agree with the concept of a corporate entity and Allah is a separate shmooze, but you go and you save somebody else. Ask, so it's in, the Mechaba doesn't bring it. What? The Mechaba doesn't bring it. The Mechaba says, he talks about your chiyuv. You have a chiyuv, a duty of Hatzalah, which as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, we learn from Samud al Dam Re'echa, not enough from Vahashivos Aloi, which would be a mitzvah saseh, which would only mandate personal involvement. But Samud al Dam Re'echa mandates financial commitment. You mechuyuv, if you have the financial wherewithal, you have an obligation to hire somebody, to spend money to go and save somebody else. Okay, you spend money. You spend money going to save somebody else. Can you now present him with a bill? It's missing in the Mechaba. Freg the Sma, it's a Rosh. The Rosh learns from the fact that a nirdaf sheshovar kelim, if you're being chased by somebody else and you break the kelim of a third party, not of the Rodef, because again, you're being chased, you're a nirdaf, right? And you break in, getting away, you damage somebody else's property. Do you have to pay him? Avad? So Gemara, you have to pay him. Says the Rosh, you see from here, therefore, that if somebody is matzil you'd have to pay. Asks the Sma, so why doesn't the Mechaba bring it? Kosav Arosh, the Rosh and the Tur bring it in the Siman, but the Mechab and the Ramah are silent. They don't say anything. So the Rosh says, "In Yeshli Momel Hatzelatz Mechayev L'Shalim Chaveiro," you'd have to pay him back. But the question he asks is the Smah, why isn't it mentioned in the Mechab? It's an important omission. So the Shach says the Ramah is Samech on what he says in Yeruday and Pidyon Shvuyim. But what you begin to see is that always, in terms of the system, what you're talking about always is competing and conflicting considerations in terms of Chiyuvim. So how do we understand this third approach? You've got Rashi on the one hand. Rashi holds, it seems, according to many, Osel Hatzalatim Ebu Mom and Chaviroi. You have the Ravid on the other, holds it's totally Hutra, and there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin. And then you have this in-between, which is Paskind in the Rambam and Shinun Tes. That you're allowed to be matzil per moment chaveiroi, allowed to save yourself per moment chaveiroi, but then you've got to pay afterwards. What's the hesbro in that? Either it's mutter, it's asur. If it's mutter, why should I have to pay back? If it's asur, how can I do it in the first place? Where's this? What is this? What is this halfway house? It could be one pshat. Just say one pshat. One pshat is the Yad Ramah. First of all, we need to understand when the Chiv, how far does the Chiv Hatzalah goes? I see there's some Hatzalah members here as well. There's an interesting Shaila in terms of the ability to repay. Although the Mechaba, like I said, the Mechaba and the Ramah seem to miss it out, the Torah does paskin it, the Rosh does paskin it. So Shaila, whether Reb Zalman Nechemi Goldberg has a very interesting shuva where he tines that the Shulchan Aruch left it out deliberately, not like the Shach, he left it out deliberately because he holds like the Rambam and he's Mechuluk. So according to Reb Zalman Nechemi Goldberg at least, Pshat in the Ramah and the Mechabiz, there's no Chiyuv Tashlumin. There is no Chiyuv Tashlumin once you've been saved. But that's not so poshut. What would it be if, let's say there is a Chiyuv Tashlumin and the fellow... Or you're about to be matzil atzmai b'mam and chaveiroi, but you know there's no way you can ever pay back. Are you allowed to take it on the understanding that you're not going to pay back? Or is there a chiyuv of hatzala when the Gemara says that I have a chiyuv of hatzala, I have to hire somebody, I have to expend money to save somebody else, am I mechuyuv to do so even though I know I'm never going to get that money back? That's a machlekes rishonim. It's a machlekes yad ramah. And Meiri, it's not poshut. The Yad Ramah holds that there is no chiyuv hatzala to expend money, personal avad hashem loisalei. There's a mitzvah asay, but the loisasei, which incorporates and includes tashlumin as well, if the other person is either going to be unwilling or unable to pay back, there's no chiyuv hatzala. So, given that you see that it's not that poshut, there is a, therefore, according to most Rishonim, and this is the way that the Mechab and the Rambam paskins at the end of the day, and this is where, unfortunately, we have to leave it, maybe to be continued, is that the normative halacha now becomes that, like Tosfos, that Osel Hatzalatzmei B'mam and Chaveiro, the Shaila was never whether you can do it or you should do it, Avada, you must do it. Again, you may and you must do it. You have a chiyuv of hatzalah klapei yourself as well. So you have to be matzil atzmei b'mom and chaveiro, but you would have to make restitution. And that's the way the Mechaba paskens. If you do it, I'll just read out the Lashon HaMechaba, afilu b'sakonis moves, v'tzorich ligzoy les chaveiro k'dei lahatzil nafshoy, tzorich shelo yikochenu elo aldas l'shalim. You can only take it aldas l'shalim. And therefore, it could be according to some, according to the Yad Ramah at least, one could debate whether the Mechaba holds like this or not. If there is an inability or an unwillingness to make restitution, it could be it will taka remain osa. Okay. Sorry? Does he have to pay the kemet? Ah, I got carried away. I didn't finish there. So that depends.